Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth, and this episode is brought to you by COVID-19. COVID-19 is the new disease that's sweeping the world by storm. Go ahead, get it in you. Anyway, COVID-19 is probably still wreaking havoc as you're listening to this. We are recording this near the beginning of the pandemic, so get strapped in. You can only listen to podcasts, so do that, as we are the official podcast sponsored by the coronavirus. So anyway, we have returning guest Blake Sylvia on this episode. Jeremy talks about some of his work troubles as he's about to lose it, much like the movie Falling Down, I think, any day now. But if I could implore you to hop on the Apple Podcast, the Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, whatever platform you listen to us on, drop us a 5-star rating. Takes a little bit of your time, costs you absolutely nothing, but really means the world to us over here at the Quality Time Podcast. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn that volume up to 11, and get ready for the continuation of the class of Nukem High.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Tell me more about this mummy.
I don't know if it was Mammoth Cave or it was another cave where an Indian, a Native American, had been mining and a 10-ton rock fell on him.
Please, call the Native American Elizabeth Warren. Continue. Presidential candidate hopeful just dropped out, Elizabeth Warren. Continue.
So he had been mining and the rock fell on him. He was perfectly preserved as a mummy until they got the rock off put him in the museum and showed what was in his pockets for the day. And, you know, he had only had like an 8-track then and his, magazine for John Travolta.
What? So he's from the 80s.
Years ago.
So he's from the 80s. I got it. Nice.
No, he was
billions of years ago.
Probably at least 1,000 years ago.
So. Oh, okay, cool.
Well preserved.
Well, nice, Jeremy. I like it.
Yeah.
Mummies and more on tonight's Quality Time Podcast. My name is Eric Woodworth, your host.
You know, maggots can't eat you when you're under a 10-ton boulder.
I've heard it's difficult for them. I've heard it's difficult. That sultry voice you hear to my left is none other than my brother, Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? It's great after doing that Night of the Lepus show. It was great.
Wasn't it good, Jeremy? Wasn't it good? I wish we could tell people all about it, but he did a lot of things that we can't talk about. We're actually not allowed to be on the air
anymore.
It's
good to be out of the jail.
Yeah,
you know?
Good job.
When I think about all the
here it goes.
You know, hit all that acid and I just started seeing things and just started doing crazy stuff. I would never do acid. I'm boring.
Jeremy, we all heard about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at least Mayor Pugh is, you know, still alive.
Thank goodness for that. And we're returning guests, same as last week, none other than my childhood friend, the drummer for Ammo Green, Mr. Blake Sylvia. Blake, welcome back,
otherwise
sir.
Thank you for having me.
Otherwise known as the drummer for the Ass Pennies.
Hell yeah.
True.
Pennies drummer. Fuck yes,
double
dude.
Drummer.
So, hey, Blake, what's every time I see you, I feel like you got a new look. And this week, you've come in and you've got shaved head, beard. Last time it was hair, no beard. What gives? You just can't decide what's going on with yourself.
Just always evolving.
Yeah. Now you look like a guy from the Sons of Anarchy, but
you're reinventing yourself.
Too bad
much
that
like
show's
a Don
over.
Madonna.
I was hoping that I could make it.
But you always look great, no matter what.
Oh,
you know,
I appreciate
it's fucking,
that. Thank you.
You look like a 10 out of 10 for sure. So,
at least you don't look like Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Not
ooh,
yet.
Jeez. Yeah.
Not yet.
She looks rough.
I always thought she did look rough, but that's just
great
me.
Singer. I like it. I like it because when you're a little bit ugly, I feel like you compensate by being better musically, and she does. She really is a good.
She's
I
not
like
terrible.
Voice.
I don't mean to say it like that, but I'm just not personally attracted to her.
Yeah, she's in one of the seasons of American Horror Story. I think it's
at
the
least
season
two of
Hotel,
them.
And she gets like naked and. I felt uncomfortable seeing her naked.
Really?
And that happens very rarely with a woman. I felt dirty looking at her.
I remember watching an episode of that with my girlfriend at the time, and I was just like, this is such shit. And she got so mad at me because
really
I was just
bad.
Like, this is really bad. I was like, this is so boring. What? There's nothing happening.
You know, the next season with the Roanoke creature, she was actually the creature. Yeah, she was like done in so much makeup you couldn't even recognize her.
You know what? A Star is Born was great. But, hey guys, I had a real quick before we jump too far into the episode. We don't have any Joe Robinson's corrections. We wasted them all on last week's episode.
Yeah, he didn't correct anything.
Plus, I think he's saving his major corrections for the upcoming live show that technically already happened by the time you're listening to this, but not important. I had a show, Jeremy, in my hometown. We record in Sykesville, Maryland, Sykesville/Eldersburg, behind the curtains here. And I actually had a local show at a right down the street. So this is where I live. It's closest I could ever go to a show.
Was
right?
that at the sewing shop?
No, it was not. It was at a place called Sierra Brothers. It's like a Italian restaurant and bar.
Classy.
I knew it wasn't going to be a good show. But I get up there and it's a packed house. It's pretty full. I mean, it's
righteous.
Probably a good 100 people there, which is for this little bar, it's fucking packed to the gills. And I'm watching comedians that I know go up there and it is a loud bar crowd. And these people do not give a fuck what's happening. There's maybe like 30 people that are near the stage. They're into it. Everybody else could care the fuck less, right? So I'm outside and I'm hitting my vape or whatever. Keep in mind, this is my hometown. These are people that I see from time to time. I don't know them, but I'm going to go to Walmart. I'm going to see these people. Right. Well, one lady walks in and she's younger. She's with two other dudes. So I courteously open the door. I'm like, she's like, who are all these people here? I go, hey, you know what? It's a comedy show. Real great one tonight. You're going to love it. Everybody's here. She was just like, I'm here all the time. And I don't know who the fuck you are. And she walks right past me and goes inside after shitting on me for holding the door.
Right,
okay?
right.
So
classy broad.
I go up within T-minus 1 minute of this happening. I see her getting off. I'm headlining the show. I see the other girl getting off. So I'm up on stage within 1 or 2 minutes after this. And I open up by fucking shitting on that lady for the first 5 minutes. She's at the back of the bar. I was like, that bitch shit all over me. And I was like, great hospitality. Thanks for welcoming me in the neighborhood, bitch. Like this. So people were liking that, right? So,
is this the same video that you posted of where you say something and oh no, can't talk about that. No.
Oh, the traffic lights one?
Yeah.
No, not the same show. That was in all Hampstead, right. Maryland, and that was at a giant fire hall with like 600 people.
Traffic
good
lights.
Show. Yeah, I got into a little spat at a show in Hampstead. I was like, welcome, it's good to be here at Hampstead with your one traffic light. And they were like, hey, we got two traffic lights. And I was like, okay, my bad. You guys got two, I get it.
We now have electricity.
And then the other guy goes, he's like, yeah, you forgot about the one by McDonald's. And I was just like, yeah, the one by McDonald's, ass. Yeah. And I was like, you know, if you count every light, that's three per light. We got like 21 lights here in Hampstead. So I shit on Hampstead and they enjoyed that. But I'm here. I'm at this fucking venue or whatever. in Eldersburg, and after I've done shitting on this lady, I got their attention, so I had a really good set, and I closed out with some music, and they demanded an encore. Well, Jeremy, I played pretty much all of my... I played the Search History song, which I've been fucking kind of touring around and trying to get comfortable playing live, and I did my Judy, the Plastic Blow Up Doll song, classic Eric Woodworth go-to, nice. And I thought I was done, right? I'm already over my time. I'm not getting paid anything to be at the show. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to do like 15 minutes. I ended up doing 20 already. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. This is perfect. And then they start cheering encore. And I'm like,
hello.
I'm like, all right, I got to give them a fucking encore. Well, Jeremy, I'm left with a very limited amount of songs
so
that I can
play
live.
Your Stephen Lynch song.
So, Jeremy, I warned them. I was just like, listen, you're asking for an encore, and I'm telling you, you're not going to fucking like it. Because there are nothing but like 50-year-old people in like the front of this, and then like behind that, I was just like, there's a bunch of blue hairs up front. And while they really loved me up until now, I let them know, you're going to fucking hate what's about to happen. So I set it up. I played it as straight as I could, and I played my brother the abortion for them.
Oh,
and
my God.
so much. God damn it. I can't tell you how much they went from like, man, this guy's a fucking great comedian, to that I fucking hate this guy right now. I have to leave. So
60% of the crowd actually do abortions on the regular.
Yeah, yeah. So, and listen, I prefaced it by saying, I was like, you guys aren't going to fucking like this.
Right.
But you're getting it anyway. And they're like, he's so funny. Like that. They had no idea what was coming into their ear holes in 2 seconds. So I ruined my chances of probably going back to Eldersburg for an encore.
Should have played Stephen Lynch's Satan song.
Satan song? My name is Satan. That's a good one. They call me Beelzebub. I love that tune. That's a good one.
By the way, I heard a new comedian this week that I'd never heard before.
Who's that?
Jim Gaffigan.
Okay, thank you. Jim Gaffigan.
Brand new. I'd never heard of.
I will say, hey, one of the comedians I did meet up there.
He does the whisper voice a lot.
I did meet comedian Kurt Ryan, who is this autistic man. And he, first of all, if you ever follow him online, he does great memes. Like his meme game, he's my meme connoisseur. Like I listen to anything he posts. I'm like, yes, fucking like. He's really good online. And he's super autistic. Like it's very clear. He's like, you are so socially awkward by chemicals. I get it, right? Mm-hmm. Like that. But I dug him. I had a good time chatting with him for a little while. And he gets up there, and I'll admit, the audience liked him. He was fucking really, really funny, dude. He had a great set. And so shout outs Kurt Ryan for fucking crushing Eldersburg show.
Who was the guy that sucked Kim's toes?
Oh, I don't know if we're supposed to talk about that, but it's
we
Jim Norton.
We talked about it on Jimmy Norton.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't even know who Jim Norton is.
You don't know who Jim Norton is from the O&A show for years and years?
I probably did, but I forget because I'm old.
I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. Our old co-host went to New York before she was married, and Jim Norton sucked her toes. So, yeah.
I personally think that's gross because... I don't like feet. So.
Yeah, I'm not a feet guy. Feet are really weird to me. I don't like feet anywhere near my, like, above my waistline. Like, yeah. As soon as it gets to navel, I'm like, please, no more. Please, no, show me no more.
Right.
I feel like Ebenezer Scrooge, like, after the Ghost of Christmas Future. Show me no more.
No, no.
Show me no more.
Please, leave.
I'm really into like a girl's feet if I'm like, you know, putting my penis in her vagina.
Yeah. So. It does like, change the narrative.
I can play with these while I'm having sex. They're like little toys.
Hell yeah.
Put them in my mouth. Why? Monstermania was great, you know, going there. And
well, we can talk about, hey, you're about to go to Monstermania, right, Jeremy?
No, I've already been there, so
I get
it's
it.
In the past.
Who was the best person that you met?
Brad Dourif, obviously.
Brad Dourif, yeah.
From Chucky and the Lord of the Rings.
Did you think you met Sam Raimi?
No, he actually postponed because he's doing a film now.
Oh.
He's probably doing Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he's probably doing the Doctor Strange flick.
The big name that was supposed to come. Oh, and the other one, Steve Miner, who directed Warlock and a couple of the Friday the 13th, also postponed. So, Steve Miner. I wanted to meet him.
So yep. No Sam Raimi. Yeah. Although, you know, they've been in talks with Sam Raimi also to do a new Evil Dead. Hey, interesting
really?
Thing. Yeah. Have you seen The Girl on the Third Floor, Jeremy? Have you seen that yet, or Blake? It's a show on Netflix.
No.
It's a movie on Netflix, a horror movie that stars wrestling's CM Punk as the lead actor in it. Okay, CM Punk, aka also known as the greatest in the world, CM Punk, who removed himself from the WWE and has been very vocal about what pieces of shit they are for the last year. 4 or 5 years. So he stars in this movie. It's his first acting role, and I'll let you know. I'll
I was
going to
say, did it go better than his MMA career?
It was better than that. I'll let you know, he's not a great actor, but he's also not a bad actor.
Okay?
A lot of people online have drawn the connotation after watching it, because a lot of gross shit happens to him, kind of a la an Evil Dead, where they have been looking at him as a possible Ash replacement.
Wow.
And I got to be honest with you, I'm all for it. I mean,
so you're
this
all
was
for
his,
it. You're all
I'm
in.
All for CM Punk being a replacement Ash, man. I watched him do his thing, and I was like, I'm kind of into this. I think I hearken back to, you know, if I was to say, who's the worst actor that crossover? Maybe probably Hulk Hogan is a horrible actor, right?
Yeah.
The Rock, I guess, probably being
the best
actor.
Definitely.
I'd say he falls right at like the Roddy Piper level, which that's all I need. Honestly, Roddy Piper's in one of my fucking favorite movies,
True.
They Live.
Yep.
And he fits right in. And he just has kind of a... He has good comedic timing. His face, he makes the right faces when he's like, ah! Like that. Like he has very Bruce, and he has kind of like a Bruce Campbell look to him, Jeremy.
It's funny when you said that, because I thought about it for a second. I was like, yeah, he does look similar to Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, here, let me show you the pictures. Like when you just get a look at him, he kind of does look a little Bruce Campbell-y here. Here, check this out. Like this right there. Doesn't this remind you of an Ashley Williams right here, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Right there?
Yeah.
You know? Like,
Ashy,
just like
slashy.
You see this face right here? Like, I could look at a shotgun like that, you know?
Well, you know, if you really, really did need a young Bruce Campbell to do like an earlier versus actually having Bruce Campbell, you know?
Yeah, but Bruce Campbell's how old now?
Yeah, but he's still working. He's still ready to go.
I'm not saying he's not ready to keep.
See, look
to
at these.
Hang it up.
You get these
just...
type of expressions like. I mean,
you know,
this could be the right level of camp that we need for an Evil Dead.
What they
dead.
Could do also, they could, like, do, like, Bruce Campbell in his role and then make him, like, his son somehow.
Oh, like, kind of like Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Yes.
I like it.
Like, they get together.
One of the best Indiana Jones movies.
Absolutely.
They get together in a scene and it's like, I'm the old Ash. You're the young
yeah,
Ash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
hey, I will say, as far as The Girl on the Third Floor goes, I'll give it a C+ overall film. Imagine a haunted house, but instead of blood, replace buckets of blood with cum. And I'm not lying to you. There's so much cum in this movie. I can't stress that enough.
Is it a softcore
so much.
Porn?
I just... Listen,
like, you know those movies that used to be on, like, Cinemax back
no,
back in
the day? No, it's just, there's just, you know, like, blood drips out of, like the walls? Well,
right.
In this, it's like, oh, here's this light socket. Is that cum coming out of it? Like, it's just cum everywhere.
Okay.
So that's, it's basically he moves into a house that used to be a whorehouse.
Is,
and, yeah.
Is Arnold living
and
next
the ghosts,
to him? Because he's just cumming everywhere.
He's
cumming.
Come on. This is cum everywhere.
You have to admit the greatest, replacement of all time has to be Bill Moseley, who takes over for Ed O'Neill from the original Texas Chainsaw, because he's supposed to be playing the brother of the hitchhiker, but instead he's like pretty much is
yeah.
the hitchhiker.
Now he is the hitchhiker.
Yeah, even
yeah.
though he's chopped up. So
he's great. I mean, good replacement. All I'm saying is I am willing, you know, if you watch, like, I go on, like, the horror blogs and stuff like that, and everybody's just like, fuck CM Punk, nobody replaces Bruce, blah, 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 and I'm just like, guys, give him a chance before you shit on it. Just right. Let it. Let them make right. us a new. He's Ash or fucking Bruce Campbell says he's not making any more Evil Deads. Well, there's a market. We want more Evil Deads. Let the motherfucker do it, and right. then we can shit on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched enough bad horror remakes and reboots dude, to shit on for aren't days. They, aren't just they, let him make it.
Aren't they redoing Batman again?
Yes.
Like, that's what I mean. Like,
they're gonna make that Twilight guy. I'm like, no, they're gonna make the guy from the fucking movie The Lighthouse who rocked that shit.
No, I think
right. I think, haven't seen that movie,
it's
but good.
It's not great, but it is worth watching.
I've seen the trailer. I so think I was like,
a year or two ago when they were talking about doing a sequel to Spartacus, that they still could have used Kirk Douglas if they rolled him out, you know, into scenes in his wheelchair.
Here I am.
Spartacus.
Oh yeah. Hey,
let's make fun of the very extreme elderly right before they die. So
listen, all I'm saying, Hollywood, get this Michael Douglas movie made, okay? Make this Kirk Douglas movie, have CM Punk star as him, and that's what we're getting at. Oh, hey, big announcement, guys. I just got tickets this week to go see in October Meriwether Post Pavilion. The Tenacious D. They're coming.
At Meriwether.
Nice. Post. They're coming, baby. I just scored my ticks.
Did you get general or did you get the real
seats? I paid big bucks so I could just sit at the closest seat because I like to have a place when all things go that I'm like, this is the spot where I know I can stand
gosh.
Right. and
yeah.
watch.
Yeah. What if you actually mm-hmm. catch a Tenacious D pick?
Well, here's the thing.
Of destiny.
You know what I did is I was like, you're in Meriwether. This is my hometown, right? As close to a hometown as I can consider, right?
Yeah.
Columbia, Maryland. I tweeted at Jack Black. I tweeted him the Judy Fuck Doll song that I do. And I was
wow.
just like, give a hometown boy a chance. Let me open up your show. So I tweeted at him. And let's see, that's been about 6 days. No response. But hey, you shoot for the stars or you don't shoot at all.
Exactly,
am I right?
Right.
So.
And if you get them in the eye or in the face, you have won.
I mean, that would probably be the coolest thing I'd done in my career if I played in front of a packed Meriwether Post Pavilion crowd, right? Like a packed outside venue.
Absolutely.
And got to play my stupid fucking song. That'd be pretty fucking good.
I think that'd be awesome. You'd
probably have some other stupid band open like the Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah. No, I think it's the same opener he had last time you and I went to go see him in DC, Winchester is opening
up
for him.
Like a Zeppelin cover or something.
Yeah, they do. They're like kind of funny. They're not like super funny, but they're like they're two fucking kind of country boys that do a little two-man act that they just play some cool kind of funny songs. That's the best way I can describe
it. I love the fact that Jack Black joined up with DeAntwoord.
When did that happen?
It was in a certain video where they had a whole bunch of different little cameos in it. So.
Oh, okay. Cool. Tight.
Yeah.
What, you need to talk about your job for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we won't get into the meat of the episode. Tell me about your job, Jeremy.
I got, like, the easiest fucking robot job of all time, just stacking boxes for this company. And then I realized day two that they wanted to fucking kill me. They literally had five people loading boxes on a conveyor belt, and I'm supposed to go as fast as humanly fucking possible to stack these things like a fucking video game of Tapper.
Hey, Woodworth at the end of the line. Hey, you stacking over there or you just lollygagging?
And I'm looking and I'm like sweating my ass off. I'm completely winded to the point of like, I think if I do this for an hour, I might die. I might literally fucking die. And I'm looking over at the manager as if he's sitting there like in a supervisory kind of position. And he doesn't even fucking notice that I'm fucking dying here. And I look around and I look at the boss and he's like, the other supervisor, like, maybe I get a little fucking help here. Like five people against one here is a little bit too fucking much for a 50-year-old fucking man doing this. I was literally ready to quit right fucking then. Mm-hmm. And then after complaining, after realizing, that's way too much fucking work. You were and then it happened again. And I was literally looking at the main manager of the place sitting there then. I've never seen
a red stapler situation.
An anarchy kind of who gives a shit? As long as this fucker is being abused, we don't know who he is. He's just a fucking temp. Uh-huh. We'll just fuck him over until we'll get another dumbass into this fucking joint. And I'm like, you really guys are fucking idiots.
So how did
you
it all,
don't know who the fuck you're dealing with?
How did it all end shake out?
I've gotten to the point where I don't care.
Nice.
I've
there
gotten
you
to
go.
The point where so many boxes are lined up like, well, I'm not going to be able to do those. You better get somebody else out here to do this because otherwise it's not going to get done.
And so you started working at your own pace, right? A pace that isn't killing you.
A pace where I will not be fucking falling on the floor of a heart attack.
And then what happened?
And then somebody fucking eventually steps in.
Nice. So they helped you out. There you go.
Barely.
There you go.
It's a job that nobody wants to do, but it has to fucking get done.
All right. Well, in retrospect, it sounds like it's maybe working out. Or do you hate it? Do you walk in every day and you fucking hate it?
I worked at a real company named Kinko's where we actually did our fucking jobs no matter what. And we had supervisors that actually supervised to actually get the job done smoothly versus anarchy.
Okay.
So. This isn't fucking rocket science. I mean, it's any fucking moron that McDonald's has been doing for 80 years.
You're working up to supervisor right now. Maybe I think you come up
with
some of these ideas.
I am supervisor material no matter how much I hate fucking supervising. But this is a job for a complete robot idiot. Anybody can do it, but they're still understaffed and a manager or a supervisor that really doesn't care.
Okay, makes sense.
So, and I told the other fellow employees that were kind of disgruntled, it's like, I've been a manager before, and for years, I made sure that I pretended as if I cared about my employees, which they thought was rather funny. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, if anybody's good at pretending, it's Jeremy Woodworth. He's an actor.
You guys are working really hard, and I know it's tough. Just keep doing that for $7 an hour.
A lot of times I just tell, because I supervise in my day job, and a lot of times what I do, I was just like, hey, listen, I don't do your job. All I know is that if you don't do it, then I'm not allowed to come to work the next day. So if you could just do that, I'd appreciate it. Tell me what's wrong. How can I solve it? I don't do anything except if you tell me a problem, maybe I can solve it. That's all I can do.
Well, I have a supervisor style that says, you're going to do it or you're going to get stabbed.
There you go. All right.
You ever been stabbed before?
All right. Speaking of getting stabbed.
In the eye.
You ever been shanked, boy?
Shank Boy is my favorite movie. So.
Shank
Boy. Shank. Are we ready to get into tonight's topic again?
You wanna know it?
You got the touch. You got the power.
Fry little baby. Mr. Baby.
1986's Class of Nukem High. Lloyd Kaufman, Troma Films. Where we left off in the story last time is the school has been subject to a toxic waste leak. That has turned the honor roll students into the Cretans, which is a band of ravenous monsters that sell atomic weed and atomic high to the kids of the school.
Should we take this back to biblical times where apparently there was a bad preacher back in the day who said that all Cretans are a bunch of scumbags?
Yeah. The Cretans live a lifestyle akin to that of Mad Max. They ride motorcycles. They look crazy.
They love Hitler.
Our hero and heroine, Chrissy and Warren, smoked some of this atomic weed. They had sex that night and apparently has given Warren toxic Avenger-like powers where he's killed two of the Cretans. And that brings us up to the present in Class of Nukem High. So
it's only gonna be like four more episodes just about
in
this
our
movie.
6-part series that will drive Joe Robinson off the wall. I can already tell you right now, I don't have the text message yet, but when the first episode drops, he was just like, my biggest correction about Class of Nukem High is that it says part one, inferring that there's a part two that I'm gonna have to listen to. But hey, we record two at a time, deal with it. That's
Look,
just how we
it's
roll.
One of the two greatest trauma films of all time.
Yes, one of the two.
Well, unless you count Cannibal the Musical, so
Cannibal the Musical is good. It skyrocketed the South Park boys' career. So very good there. So Warren wakes up after he is turned into this weird toxic creature that has killed two of the Cretans to his room that's in shambles, but he appears to be normal and fine once again. The next day, we see Chrissy at cheerleader practice, and she's not feeling well at all. In the bathroom, her belly starts to grow and convulse. She heads into the bathroom, and her throat swells like a frog, and she spits out a giant black, like, tadpole-like thing that is just fucking shocking.
This is another truth about smoking weed. This
yes.
is what happens.
You so. Smoke weed, this could happen to you.
You have a child and you spit it out into the toilet. Which, so.
Her like cheerleading coach, like the old lady, is mm-hmm. like hilarious. I'm like, who cast her as the cheerleading coach?
I mean, that's clearly. I
Come
like,
on, girls, let's get it together. And she's like this, like roly poly, like looking
yeah,
woman.
Yeah, she's a big lady. Yeah. A big lady who does dance moves. I mean, I feel like
sucking your guts like me. It's like I still see your gut.
I think the best part about Troma Films is that their casting happens at whatever New Jersey local bar that they are about to film at the night before, and they're like, "Hey, you know what? You got cheerleader material written all over you, dude.
Right. Right.
You'd be the perfect thing for my movie.
Right.
So
I'm going to guess Muffy's mom.
Muffy's mom? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Muffy the Vampire Slayer.
No, this is a Jewish.
Jewish?
DNA similar. I would join the heads in an operation.
Dinah Cabo. Okay. So they take her to the hospital. The doctor tells mom what's wrong with Chrissy.
Mrs. Murphy, I don't know how to tell you this, but your daughter had a miscarriage.
Oh, a miscarriage. A miscarriage!
What?
My Chrissy would never have done such a thing. She's a good girl. She couldn't have even been pregnant.
Mrs. Murphy, please, calm down. Now, all the tests and examinations that we've done show conclusively that your daughter was, in fact, 9 months pregnant. She was full term.
The special, the thing is that when she goes to the hospital and they walk by the marquee of the hospital, you hear Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
So. Yes.
Otherwise known as the Three Stooges' real names.
Yes. So Warren goes in, sneaks in, and talks to Chrissy in the hospital. They don't know what's going on. Miss Murphy is shocked to see Warren there and is basically just pissed. She's like, "How dare you knock up my daughter, man!" So, meanwhile, back at the school, the girl finds the miscarriage that she left in the toilet, still screaming, and she goes to flush it down the toilet. And this starts a series of events where she flushes it down the toilet, this little black turd with teeth, and it starts wreaking havoc all through the school, moving its way through the pipes. And at one part, it goes into the like the cafeteria that's like dishes, and it starts throwing dishes at people back there.
And the lunch ladies are in shock.
But it eventually makes its way down to the basement / fallout shelter of the place where there's just open toxic waste, and it breaks a pipe and then drops into a vat of toxic waste down there. Ooh, not good. Not good. I'm sure that won't come back up later in the film.
At least
not
the at waterworks all. Of the school are well kept.
They are. They good pipes until that fucking abortion broke it, but...
I it's so funny because I have to think that this was like an inspiration for Mr. Hanky, the Christmas Pooh.
Very Hanky-esque, right? Yeah.
Like I could definitely see them getting inspiration for that from the scene.
You know what else the thing looks like? It looks like another thing from our one of our past episodes. It looks like the thing from Brain Damage, the Elmer. Doesn't
yeah.
that? Right? Jeremy, you don't think it has anything like the Elmer?
I consider it a sequel to actually Alien.
Alien, so. Okay.
But instead of coming it through your chest, he just vomited.
I was thinking Cocoon.
So, Eddie and Warren Gooding.
Good one there. I'm Wilford Brimley. So
next, we see Eddie and Warren. They go to the science lab to check out the school's laser because the school just has a laser in 1986 that is the size of a fluorescent bulb and the width of fucking Shaq's penis.
Look, it's the new slimline model.
It's just an absolutely massive fucking laser.
My penis over there. You know, in the original Alien, they actually got the laser for the egg scene from the Who, because they were the only ones that could afford a laser
from their
light shows.
Hey, and you can go back to our Aliens episode and hear more about the Who and their laser stealing deal on that episode.
And you know,
it's a real early episode, like episode 60 or something like that.
Okay.
Bring it 20 years only after that, everybody could afford a little laser to shine back at the stars on stage.
Yeah.
You know, right in their eyes.
Here you go. So. Suck it, BOC.
Take that, Justin Bieber.
So, they get caught fucking around with that giant laser by the high school science teacher.
Having fun, Eddie?
Yeah! I mean, no!
Eddie, don't you think you should put that down?
Yeah. Why, is it dangerous?
If you were to aim this laser at the radioactive isotope samples we have here, this whole building would be blown into oblivion and you with it! Oh... Get your gluteus maximi out of here.
I'm pretty sure.
Foreshadowing.
I'm pretty sure that that's also the scientist from the Toxic Avenger who explains he has to destroy evil.
Maybe it is. I'd have to do a little bit more research about the Troma cinematic universe to really peg that down. But
really reuses his actors.
I could say that that's probably accurate. So, they say if you sign it at radioactive isotopes, it could blow up the whole school. Might come into play later on in the story.
Does anybody know what an isotope is?
They're like the little fucking thing. They're like the circle things that follow
gloves,
around the other
right?
circle thing, right?
They're gloves.
If you're looking at a diagram, it circles the bigger circle of an atom for atomic energy.
A regular atom is supposed to be a certain number, but if it's off by like a valence of one or two, then that's like an isotope.
See, yeah, duh, that's what I said. The little circle in the diagram. I got it.
So, yeah.
You know, this is science on Quality Time. This is science.
It's kind of like, say, for instance, you're Eric, but if you had like a giant welt on your face as a twin, that would be the isotope.
Got it.
So.
I got it. Now it makes sense. Now it is.
That's your twin brother, except he's a freak. He's an isotope. And he has a half-life.
So next we see the Cretans causing more havoc. The girl Cretan, who I believe her name is Mandy or Handy or... No, Muffy.
Muffy.
There you go.
Muffy,
the girl Cretan, walks in and into the boys' bathroom and starts peeing at the urinal just like a dude. Just fucking whips out her giant clit and just fucking lets it rail. And she then goes to sexually assault this nerd in the bathroom.
The girls' room is across from the arts class.
Shut up and put that little pecker back in your pants.
What do you want?
I want a man. I want a real man, not a faggot like you. Can't you be a real man?
So
I just love the fact he looks like one of the members of Huey Lewis and Huey Lewis and the News. Yes. So,
Spike and Gonzo come in to strong arm this nerd that Muffy's talking to into buying some more weed. Except now. It's $20. Warren comes in the middle of this situation, and he's not having this.
Get out of that poison anymore, kids!
So a fight ensues. During this fight, he ends up ripping out Gonzo's nose hoops, and just like the whole bottom part of his nose rips out. They ultimately get the upper hand on Warren, who's not in monster form during this part of the film. giving him an old-fashioned swirly by the end of it and sticking his head into the toilet. Just as Gonzo is about to come over and bash him over the head with a giant bone that he just carries around, I guess. Uh-oh. So the Cretans end up getting expelled over this.
If I ever catch any of you punks in here again.
Stop it, man. It's a free country. We'll go wherever we want.
Not in my school, you can't.
Try and stop us.
We'll be back.
We're the youth of today.
God bless America, limp dick.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight.
Jeremy's laughing so hard at Gonzo. Say,
stripes and bright stars.
Oh, good stuff.
You passed over my favorite line of the movie.
So, yeah, but I didn't rip the audio, but one of the things that the principal says is he pulls up the bone. He says, "You see this? This is going on your permanent record."
You know, I think that would be a great song, too.
You think so? Yeah. I think it would be pretty good, too.
Do you know where this bone is going? Why don't you take a guess? This bone is going on your permanent record.
Permanent record.
This bone is going on your permanent record.
Permanent record.
This bone, permanent record. This bone is going on your permanent record. Yeah. This bone is going on your permanent record. This bone is going on your permanent record.
What you get when you go out with a yuppie.
Oh, good stuff, Jer. Good
Gonzo
stuff.
Lives forever.
So,
has anybody ever made a record called their permanent record?
Ooh,
maybe
I don't know.
Maybe by the Ramones. I know there's Permanent Vacation by Aerosmith.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Which they didn't even do that.
Let's make a permanent record, motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
Yeah! Yeah!
When that actually meant something. Like, yeah. People were actually fearful of, like, when someone said, this is going on your permanent record. Now, like...
Now everybody has a permanent record because they just put it on social media. So
right.
It's already there. They
right.
Can just
it doesn't
find
matter.
It.
Yeah,
the good news about social media is that while it is on your permanent record of social media, so much of your life is that it really takes a lot of work for them to find it. You know, before you used to be able to just search and like, oh, you got arrested. Now you got to go through fucking years of Facebook to see about the fucking weed leaf that they found in the backseat of your car when you were 16.
Right.
Hey, why don't we give this acting part to this guy from Seinfeld, Michael Rich. Oh no, he said that word on a comedy bit once.
Michael
so.
Richards.
No, he'll never work again. So.
I love Dave Chappelle talking about Michael Richards. Have you ever heard Dave Chappelle talking about Michael
at
Richards?
At the same club with the same background. Yeah.
No, have you heard what he said about that? He was just like, he goes, when I watch Michael Richards, when I was watching Kramer say the N word, he's like, I realized I'm 80% comedian, and I'm only 20% black. He was just like, because the black part of me was offended, but 80% of me was saying, damn, I've fucking been there before. He was just like, I kept looking at him like, come on, Kramer, you'll get him next time.
I admit that this was, I think, the first week that I had ever heard the Chris Rock 1996 stand up about how he hates the N-word people. So
okay, good. Well, we won't get into it. I feel like we're getting to a place where we can't talk about this.
I can't even say any of what his bit was, but it was like Okay, that's great.
Nice.
That's great. So,
meanwhile, at the power plant, people start dropping like flies left and right. They send personnel to the school to shut it down as the Geiger counter is spiking all over the east wing of the school.
The Geiger count.
One of the power plant workers heads down to the fallout shelter where Chrissy and Warren's miscarriage is hiding.
By the way, people own a lot of Geiger counters, but do they ever own Giger counters?
Giger counters!
That counts things that are alien and oh, really
okay.
creepy looking.
Oh, okay, I see where you go with that.
Yes, I made a Giger counter. It tells whether things are German or not. So
one of the smartest and brightest from the plant goes down to the basement where there's open toxic waste to go check it out.
I can't breathe in this thing.
He immediately takes off his mask.
This guy is the biggest dumbass, yeah, by the way.
I love it so much.
This is probably Alan Rickman's greatest role.
I don't believe this.
Keeps looking at the Geiger
Typical.
Counter.
This equipment is no good. It's the needle is right off the scale.
Just like a typical Russian plant, you know.
No, they're not talking about not being able to breathe in here.
Meanwhile, the miscarriage is moving in that vat behind him. Now, behind the toxic waste, you can a hand pops up from it and dips back into the green vat. But he drops his mask stupidly into the fucking vat, so he goes to reach into it and is very surprised about what he finds.
Yeah. Holy shit, what is all this green stuff? That does it. I'm getting out of here. The hell is making that noise?
Oh, no!
So did you ever watch the Chernobyl miniseries?
No.
They of course had the explosion where they lost part of the inner part of the core, and graphite is laying around outside still glowing fucking hot, and of course the guys in the control room like, hey, it doesn't seem that bad. I mean, it's only topping out at such and such radioactivity, because they only read to a certain amount on the thing. It's like, oh no. Oh, we're fucking lit up like a fucking Christmas tree, but we don't know. So.
Yeah, just sending mini bullets of fucking radiation through everybody's body that's walking around there.
The guys that are near the actual core, they go around a doorway like, oh, we can actually see into the core because it's fucking open now, like a fucking thing. And the best part of all is like those guys that walked in there, those are the actual few that died, because they're in there for like a minute or so and they're dead. They're just like radiated to death.
Right.
They come out. They were like the few that actually died within like a week or something ridiculous like that.
Oh, wow.
So meanwhile, Mr. Finley, oh, by the way, that guy dies that we talked about. He the monster fucking kills him down in the basement. Mr. Finley, the plant owner, tells the rest of the workers to cover it all up, shut down and clean up that whole east wing of the school. And the mayor tells him to shut down the school. Tell him it's structural damage. Don't tell him anything about radioactivity. Meanwhile,
when New Jersey runs nuclear power.
Meanwhile, the Cretans are at their junkyard hideout, just having fun, rocking out, watching cars get crushed. There's a bit of insurrection, though, as some of the Cretans think Spike isn't doing his job to his fullest, so Spike needs to step in and gives him a plan. And his plan? He points to the car crusher and says, we got to put Warren in that. And they're like, yeah, this is the kind of movement we're looking for. Insurrection.
Street trash number two.
Insurrection fucking vanquished. The Cretans infiltrate the school and manhandle the principal shortly after there. They shoot the secretary with a fucking full M16 and get hold of the... Gonzo gets hold of the PA system and tells everybody what's going on.
Can I have your attention, please? This is not a drill. This is a nuclear emergency. Please evacuate your school immediately. I repeat, this is not a drill.
As that happened, panic spreads immediately through the school as everybody just starts running like maniacs to get out of there. Spike and the German teacher lady, they head down and they start sexually assaulting Chrissy down in the basement, but she's putting up a bit of a fight. Warren searches frantically, moving against the grain of everybody trying to leave the school. Spike rips off Chrissy's necklace, then cuts her own hand to spray blood on it and says, "Here, give this to Lover Boy and tell him we're in the basement." They go ahead and give it to Warren and tell him that they'll be waiting for them in the fallout shelter. And the school, basically, while this is all happening, now that the school's been cleared out, the Cretans have just turned it into a full Mad Max. They're walking around, spray painting everything, throwing desks out the window, fucking shit up.
I was going to say, I don't know, I could be wrong, but there's a Jim Belushi movie where I think it's like, yeah, it's called The Principal or something.
It is called The Principal.
You are right. I am correct. Yes. They had to have ripped the scene off from them with the motorcycles. I have to
100%.
Say.
100%. Yeah.
They were like, that Nuke 'Em High, we're going to do that.
Hey, you know what? There's some good things in that Nuke 'Em High movie. Hey, call up Jim Belushi. Call up James Belushi. We got to get him in here.
That Morgan Freeman movie never had biker gangs inside the school. So.
No. Yeah. First of all, Nuke 'Em High is actually really, they made a remake of the 90s with Michelle Pfeiffer called Dangerous Minds later on, which is you know, total ripoff of Nuke 'Em High. So,
fucking Coolio did that theme song too. Mm-hmm.
Is that the one where she has to control the sale of the yayo in the movie?
No, Jeremy, you're thinking of Scarface. The movie Dangerous Minds is where for four or five scenes, Michelle Pfeiffer wears a leather jacket to be a cool teacher and spins her chair around to sit on it backwards four or five times to give sage advice to inner city black youths.
Yeah.
That's what Dangerous Minds is. Very similar to Nuke 'Em High.
Yeah, but when does one of the black youths say that she can't have a baby because her womb is so polluted?
That happens in the first 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Warren makes his way down to the basement to confront Spike, but little do they know, Chrissy and Warren's little baby is hiding in wait. Spike throws out some threats to Warren.
I already cut her hand. I know. Her nipple.
Yeah. Her nipples! Taru!
You used to be the science major. Care to perform a little minor surgery?
Back off!
So they go cut off her nipples.
With a saw.
Don't touch.
And gonna need a really big saw for those nipples. So.
And just as her nipples are about to get fucking cut off, those giant areolas that clearly cause gravity and orbitational pull, all of a sudden their baby pops up and punches right through that bitch's face, which is pretty goddamn fucking entertaining. God,
it looks like
I love
claw
it so
from
much.
Amityville 3D, like coming out of the house.
Oh yeah,
good call.
So
fuck yeah.
Man, it's pretty awesome. Chrissy and Warren are able to leave, but Spike gets a little bit injured by the monster. His hand gets jacked up a little bit, but he's able to escape after finding out bullets do almost nothing to this creature of enormous power. And the creature looks pretty cool. It's got all these fucking spikes coming out of his head and shit like that.
It is awesome.
He's like part porcupine.
Yeah. He's got very porcupine-esque features.
Well, I mean, it's a monster. That's the only way I can describe it. It's awesome, though.
Yeah, porcupines, monsters, hedgehogs, nice and fast.
Yeah.
So.
And he's got to have some sort of regenerative powers to have all that yellow gook come out of his head after being shot, but he's still alive.
Yeah, and perfectly fine.
It's kind of like Wolverine or Deadpool.
Meanwhile, during all of the chaos, Mr. Finley shows up on the scene and says, "Everything's fine," and he heads his way into the school. Warren and Chrissy are trying to get out, but are being chased by the Cretans. But luckily, they got backup as their monster keeps looking out for them. He He takes out Gonzo. He takes out one, and then Gonzo sees his fallen brother and then comes over and starts to howl like a wolf. And as he's howling like a sad wolf, out of nowhere, the monster rolls up on him next.
And takes out his eye.
Yeah.
Can I say, I'd like to say this is inspiration for why the kink Klingons howl like wolves when their fellow Klingon dies.
Yeah, so, you think so? So Star Trek is also ripped off Nukem High now?
Exactly.
Okay. I dig that. Hells I see where they're going. So,
but also the Klingons masturbate while they howl. So,
well, that makes sense. Masturbation is screaming in the Klingon world. That's
they
it.
All have like 5-foot cocks.
Can you jerk off with my bat leg?
Which we haven't even talked about since Gonzo's dead. He's wearing a strap on the whole time.
Oh yeah, he does have a strap on codpiece.
He's just like wah, 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 like playing with it, like. And when he's on the motorcycle running through the hallways, he's just like gyrating.
As you do, as you do.
I mean, honestly, if I had his job, I would do the same thing.
Fuck yeah.
So, I just remember that one scene where he's playing with him, like, oh my gosh.
He's literally jerking it off, like, the monster rips another cretin's head off as it's spray painting down the hallway. It pretty much rips out all the cretins until we're left with Warren, Chrissy, and Spike, who's still trying to escape or kill Warren and Chrissy. Spike ends up pinning them down in the science room. He points the gun at them, but the tentacle all of a sudden comes out of nowhere and entangles Spike.
Say goodbye, Chrissy! Sorry, we just didn't get to know each other a little better. Cut!
The tentacle wraps around him and grabs him by the dick and then drags Spike out into the hallway. And ironically, he's killed by shooting spikes out of into Spike's own head. So Spike is spiked.
He also quotes a Blade Runner. When he goes, time to die.
Yeah, there you go. So it goes to then drag off Chrissy, but this time fucking Warren isn't having it. He runs over and grabs the laser and then shoots it at the monster. Luckily, we know that if it does hit it, it'll make the radioactive isotopes explode. So we see the fucking monster starting to go nuclear out of nowhere. They run for it, but they see Mr. Finley on the way out.
What's going on? You gotta get out of here.
What happened down there?
Get out of here! Come on!
Finley disregards it and pushes forward and gets right in front of the monster seconds before it explodes. Luckily, Chrissy and Warren make it out just in time to avoid the school completely collapsing around them. The kids watch as their school is completely reduced to rubble before their very eyes. And as the dust is settling, we hear something come over on the PA.
Can I have your attention, please? Your attention, please. Tromaville High School will be temporarily closed for remodeling.
Yeah!
Yeah!
School's destroyed!
So the kids watch it just cheer as their school is being has been completely destroyed. Not to mention, there's so much radioactivity that is clearly killing all of them right now. But as this is all going down, they do a montage of cleaning up the school, and as they go to drop stuff off underneath one of the things, it's the little baby monster. It's still alive. So now they've set up the sequel for Nukem High Part 2. And that brings us to an end of none other but the class of Nukem High. We did it, boys. We did it once again. Ah, feels good.
Probably one of the two greatest films about school being destroyed next to a Rock and Roll High School.
Yeah, yeah. I could see where you're going with that. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not bad.
I like it.
Any other films where high schools have been destroyed?
The Faculty?
Did it get destroyed?
I don't know. I know it takes place in high school, so I feel like it got destroyed.
There's some movie that was like done in the 70s where like a bunch of kids lock the parents into the school because there's a PTA meeting. And all the parents are at this PTA meeting, and the kids fucking lock them
in. Isn't that the same one that Kurt Cobain really likes? That movie?
Yeah.
It's from the 70s?
Yeah.
Toy Soldiers?
No. No, it was the 70s.
Which, that's a good movie.
It is. Low key.
Maybe you're thinking of Taps with Tom Cruise and Sean Penn.
Hey. That movie sucks.
And Tom Cruise gets killed at the end. Yes.
Jeremy, there was one thing that we didn't get to. You had a special song about radioactivity that you wanted to share with the rest of us.
This is a song that needs to be sung for the those lovely ladies that worked hard back in the old days and with things they didn't really know what they were doing.
Like a Marie Curie, something like
Marie Curie. You know, she liked to actually eat some radioactivity. You know,
okay.
In her cornflakes.
Well, here's Jeremy's radioactive song, Radium Girl.
Yeah, it's, by the way, it's not the same as the Jimmy Page song called Radioactive.
So. Okay, well, let's take a listen.
Maybe it's your glow. Maybe it's your style. You don't care about anything. Doing your job, lick that tip nice and tight. Make sure those letters are really clear and bright. You're my radium girl, helping me see at night. I don't need the moon. When I see your tongue, such a beautiful girl, you know what's right. Sacrificing yourself for my sight. You won't witness against me in court. You know it's all about industry and the secrets we keep. You had to do your job, even though we knew you wouldn't say anything, 'cause you got lockjaw now. Sing it, girl. My radium girl, your glowing tongue, and you can't speak anymore.
The extra sound effects at the end.
At least it isn't strontium or uranium. Those are some bad isotopes.
Very good, Jeremy. Radium Girl. I loved it.
True story.
I love it.
They got lockjaw.
They got lockjaw so they couldn't talk anymore?
Yeah. And they lost their... I don't know if they even won any of their lawsuits. So.
And all they can do is just talk like the Swedish chef for the rest of their...
Word to the wise, if it's radioactive, don't put it on your tongue on the regular.
It's a bad idea. Bad idea.
Yeah.
Good. Listen, toxic weed, stay away from, and don't just actually eat radium. That's bad. That's bad. Hey, Blake, where can people fucking find you at, dude?
You can find me on Facebook, or you can find out about the band Ammo Green on Ammo Green's website, which is... Fuck that up.
I don't know. We can figure it out. Ammo Green. Ian Band. Here, look, I'll find your website. Watch this. It's called ammogreen.com. Ammo Green Music. You can fucking just hop on there. Look, there's pictures of Blake. It has all their fucking shit coming up. Fucking get on there, dude. Ammo Green.
Yep. Instagram also.
You can find all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month, so check that shit out. Kimberly Callahan, Mike Quinlan puts that on. Jeremy, take us out of here.
Thanks for coming to the Monster Mania, all you new listeners who might have met Pogo, and I hope to be raping you again in the future.